that he's got a mission, the Lord's got a mission, and that mission is after you, and that mission is after your heart. And the Lord wants you to know tonight, he's not worried about all the peripheries, he's after your heart. And the Lord wants to remind you that it's heart to heart. Sorry, this would have to happen now. So somebody just take that. I don't know how these things work. I've got no teenagers to help me. And the Lord said, let's get back to the heart issue. He's after your heart. No peripheries, just him and him alone. And when you found that heart, when he touches that heart, you will know the right thing to do. And he will take you into those places because you've got a heart after him. You've got a heart of worship. And God has prepared you to take people into places they've never been before because of that. And he's prepared you and he's taking you into leadership, into the church, a leadership place that you've never been in before. He's going to step you up, and he's busy stepping you up right now. And he wants you to know that that desire for more, that desire for everything comes from him. And he wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He desires you with everything. I just sense his immense love pouring out and pouring out and pouring out upon you. It's not about what you can do. It's not about what you cannot do. It's all about him and that heart to heart. He just wants you to move into it and move into it and move into it. Amen. Ah, there you are.
Sorry, I found
that thing.
That's fine.
No problem. That's how you know it was God. The devil wanted to distract what God was doing. Amen? Yeah. Right. Hallelujah. Andrew Block, come on up, bro. You're going to use this microphone. You can figure out the levels if they're okay. It's quite loud tonight, but that's okay. Some power revelation going to come tonight. This man's got some revelation for us. I'm hoping. Man. Yeah? Yeah, if Ethan can hit the lights, which he's doing already. What a man. Prophetic man of glory. Well done. Well done. Who's doing the offering tonight? Rob, would you mind come and hand out the one bag that's there? Thank you. Are you on Coffee Bar tonight as well? Wow. Would you like? Why don't you pray for the offering as well? Just pray for the offering, please.
Father, I just thank you that you provide everything that we need. Father, thank you that you are all that we need. And so, Father, we just come and we're just giving back to you a portion of what you've already blessed us with. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will take that, whatever is given, the money, and be used wisely and governed wisely. Just thank you for your blessing in our lives, Lord. So we just commit this offering to you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rob. And what's on at the coffee bar tonight? Pizzas again, eh? Okay, $8 and cappuccinos? Maybe. We'll see. If you want a cappuccino, it is there. And then Adam Bright, sir. I know, I'll see. I might not. I'll see how it goes tonight. Andrew's word may be so full of revelation, I might be just a mess on the floor. I won't. Adam Bright is this Saturday. Breakout business coaching. If you want to learn more about business, how you can think laterally, I think that's the word. If you want to think differently, out the box leadership, then please come to that. 50 Rand. It includes a lunch as well. Starts at 8:30 all the way through to 12:30. It really is going to be a very, very significant time. Put your name down for that so they know you're coming and you can pay at the door. All right, Andrew, I prayed for you already, bro, so it's going to be a powerful time because I prayed for you. Over to you.
Yes, thank you. I'm actually so stoked. I got a Coke. I was supposed to buy waters and I didn't, so I got a Coke. It was my job and I didn't do it, but I got a Coke. Let's see if it's really Coke. um While in worship, I saw a picture of someone packing their car boot. And it was like a station wagon. And they had kind of the benches that are by the coffee bar there, but they were like folded a bit more. And they were trying to pack, sorry, my voice. They're trying to pack as many chairs as they could into the back of the station wagon. And they packed it full with like wooden ones. And then halfway through, they realized that if they put metal, it'll be heavier. And I was like, yes, God. I was like, what does that mean? And I felt that there's people here, and it might just be an individual, who your life is like a car boot, and those chairs are your friends. And you try to pack the boot with as many friends as you can. And after it's completely full, you realize that when there's metal, when there's solid friends, not just the cheap wooden ones, but there's solid supporting friends, it actually weighs more. And it can actually carry a lot more substance. And you don't have to fill your boot as much as you can. And that involves your time. You don't have to fill your time with friends. You don't have to fill every single waking day with friends. But there's solid friends that God has for you. Cool. Then, yeah, just like the prophetic has really, really been in my heart. It's just crazy. How many of you know, I love the scripture, and if you've spoken to me, you might have heard me say it. But I like the scripture. It says, it's in Isaiah, and I think it's in Habakkuk, actually. I heard someone quote it the other day. But it says, in the last days, he will pour out his spirit. And the sons, is it in John? Joel. Thank you. I don't know actually where it is. But in the last days, he will pour out his spirit, and the sons will prophesy, and the old men will dream dreams. And I feel like, I don't know how to describe it, but just the Sunday nights have kind of just been that verse entirely over the last season. And it's crazy that I felt to share on dreaming, and then that really just took off. And the thing is, old men can only dream when there's young men dreaming. And something else I've also seen, just in terms of the youth, is when the older guys prophesy, the younger kids can prophesy. And I mean, I'm so glad that you're here tonight, Bill. No, I really, really am. Like, when I saw you here, my heart was just like moved. But yeah, when the old men prophesy, it allows the young men to prophesy. And I just felt to activate that quickly. We've gone down dreams. There's been a lot come out there. We'll get back on it another time. But if just all the young men here, and just guys, there's something I've still got for the girls, but if the guys just want to stand, if you consider yourself young, just stand up. I need you to pray, Bill. And then everyone around them, just put your hands on them and just pray for them right now. And just, I declare that as I am here over the mic, just declaring, just prophesying, I speak life over every single young man here. I thank you, Lord, for the prophetic just to grow. I thank you, Lord, just for prophetic words just to consume their thoughts. Just boldness and courage just to go forth. I thank you, Lord, just make them conscious of the supernatural, conscious of what you believe about people. I thank you, Lord, just for the prophetic, just a gush of the prophetic just to come through the young men. really good. Then I just, something else I felt, and I'm so stoked that my sister's here. Welcome back. I'm glad Roan's really treating you well. But yeah, like over the girls, I'm going to ask the young woman to stand now, but before I do, just... decide in your heart and... Sharon, can stand.
What do you mean by young,
Andrew? I don't know. It's us, Jesus. He wrote the Bible. Inspired it. But yeah, I heard Chris Valiton preach this last week, probably one of the most prophetic preachers like I've ever heard in my life. And he just said that the office of a prophet is changing from... just prophesying and not just government and correction, but to restoring families. And tonight I felt that there's a prophetic thing which for some reason just over the woman, just to restore families. So if all the young and old men and older women would like to just lay hands on them and just pray, just let's just impart that right now. Just thank you, Lord. Just for restoration of families. I thank you, Lord, just for them to encounter families they've never known before, families that are messed up, torn apart. I just thank you, Lord, just for a grace, just to restore families. Complete restoration. Just healing. Just turning hearts. Households changing. Thank you, Father, just for new parenting strategies. Just smart parents. Just powerful kids.
One thing I'm sensing, what he said just now, that the prophetic is taking a new turn. I really believe the time is not having just a prophetic word, but a stirring in your heart. If you want to flow, you need to get that stir, and it's a prophetic that stirs up that. The prophetic word is 5%. It's getting to grips with the supernatural, what God is doing, pulling it down here, letting it flow through you. And what he said just now, there's a change in the atmosphere. There's a change. Everywhere I've been, I'm sensing that change. I find, you know, if you say there's a prophetic meeting, sorry, not to hijack anything, but if there's a prophetic meeting, you say, right, I'm going to have a prophetic meeting in town, and you go along there, everybody will come, and every ho-ho and every worm will come out the woodwork. But if we come along there and say, guys, now's the time to get our hearts before the Lord and to pick up Him and to flow with Him and to move with Him in the miracle signs and wonders and this awesome power that dwells in our hearts. He wants us to stir that up. He says, stir up the gift with us in you. He didn't tell the prophet to do it. He told you to do it. And the prophet is there to stir you up to do it. And you know, so many times we want to come and get our ears tickled, and please, this is not a rebuke. I really believe this is what the Lord will have us do. And he wants to bring correction into the prophetic ministry. There's been so many weird things happening out there in the name of the Lord. And I believe the time is now. We have an apostolic order and a prophetic order, an order in grace as we pick up these things and move in these things. And sorry, I better not carry on, otherwise I'll be preaching all day.
It's really good. Thank you, Bill. But yeah, it's just a really cool atmosphere here. Really enjoying it. Tonight, thanks, Paul. I'm going to attempt to open up a topic which is on my life, and James prayed for it without knowing. But I'm going to talk to you guys about the word government tonight. And My main question is your mind set in war or governing through peace? Is your mind set in war or governing through peace? A mind set on war will never be satisfied with peace. It's an amazing story. It's ridiculous. Like, you should really, really read it. Of King David, who, if you read his whole life, he just fights and has battles, and he's actually a complete brute. Like, the amount of people he kills and the things he does are actually scary, and the things that his men did in his name were scary. Like, that's like, it was like serial killer stuff. Like, I'm just trying to really push it. I mean, Saul said to David, "If you want my daughter, I want 1,000 Philistine foreskins." And David's reply was, "That's a nice challenge." Like, he was excited. He was moved. Like, the stories tell of how they would, you know, like, they would have killed, like, tons of guys. And then it's like the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they just killed even more. Like, David was a violent man. And I'm just trying to point this for the picture here. And then you have his son, Solomon. And throughout Solomon's whole upbringing, David teaches him. He says, when you sit at the table of kings, this is how you eat. He, you know, through even Samuel brings back the Book of Royalty. And Solomon just rides on the backbone of his dad, who was this violent man. And Solomon then governs through peace. And when Solomon has the encounter with God, he says, "God, give me wisdom to govern your people." He didn't say, "Give me strength, give me an army." Where David's prayer was, "Let my enemies, you know, be cursed, and God, you bless who," and all of that, you know, was just about his protection. And pretty much he knew he was anointed, but he could never really fully walk in his anointing. It was only his son who inherited the kingdom of peace. And what's amazing is that Jesus said, the peacemakers will inherit the kingdom of God. And Solomon's kingdom was the greatest picture of the kingdom of God on earth to date. No other Israelite king had any. After Solomon splits, it just went downhill. And Solomon stood on the climax of everything God intended for Israel. Winston Churchill was an amazing wartime general. When he took over, I mean, honestly, like, the Brits were, no offense, James, but they were really disorganized. They weren't prepared for World War II. Dave, as well. They finally invented the Thompson machine gun, which really, really helped them. But anyway, so they went to war, and the real, real turning point was Winston Churchill, and just his speeches were just amazing, if you heard any of his speeches. And just the love for his country. And how he was such a good wartime general in a modern society of today. Not just like Genghis Khan and, you know, the previous guys who were just brutes. He was strategic and he planned. But as soon as they came out of the war, They literally just voted him out of power. And he couldn't lead the country. He was absolutely useless at governing in a time of peace. A brilliant war general, but a useless president. And they voted him out, and you know, he's still remembered and honored for that. But his strength wasn't governing through peace. South Korea. They were under occupation of the Japanese for quite a long time. I don't know offhand. And once the invasion was drawn, they left. The South Koreans, there's quite a lot of like turmoil, and you can read about it by Yong Ki Chao, and he writes how the church just emerged out of that time. But the South Koreans learned to live in a time of war with Japanese occupation, so much so that when the Japanese left, they were calling them back. They were saying, please come back and govern us, because we don't know how to lead. We've only learned how to live in poverty. And once Japan left, the water system went like sour. There was just no food. No one wanted to farm. No one wanted to work. And the whole country just went downhill. And South Korea is still, you know, building itself up now. And it's got a hectic rival against North Korea. And they're in that position because they didn't know how to transition out of war into a time of peace. The Israelites came out of Egypt. They were, you know, slaves captured. So it's a war-type picture. They come out, and they have their freedom. They go into the promised land, and it takes a whole generation before the new leaders can learn to govern from a place of peace. Although that was a specific situation. But I'm just saying that they came into their promised land. There are people who fought for the freedom, and once they had the freedom, they didn't know what to do. Because their hearts were set on war. Their hearts were set on slavery. They had a dream to be free, but they never ever knew how to live in freedom. Then to hit it right home, South Africa, pre and post apartheid. An amazing picture of a country in a situation of war, with a wall of hostility down the middle. That wall's broken, freedom comes, like God's supernatural intervention, and we brought into a place of freedom. But now, the only thing we know how to do is put people in power who are wartime generals. And the guys who succeeded in times of war, we put them in power because we believe that they can govern. But actually, it's going to take probably a generation before governors rise. And people like Solomon, who knew, like Joseph, who knew how to govern people. So the scripture that I'd like to open up tonight is Matthew 28, verse 18. And this is the Great Commission. I believe this is like the call of government to mankind. Jesus says, then Jesus came to them, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. But the first part is just all authority on earth and heaven has been given to me. If you can just close that down, Gary. I want you to know that Jesus won the war against darkness. That it was Jesus who was like David, and he fought for the kingdom to come. It was his bloodshed. It was his sacrifice. He was the one who went through the turmoil. And he fought for this kingdom. And he said, the peacemakers will inherit the kingdom, which is us on this side. And I'll explain a little bit more about the word peacemaker. But a peacemaker is not just someone who goes after peace, but it's someone who understands the necessity of war and the purpose of it. To be a peacemaker, you need to understand what Jesus did. Because if you come into darkness and you try and fight, example, if you're punching, say you're in your room and you want the darkness to go away, if you punch the air, you know, for a whole day and you keep punching and fighting and kicking, the darkness will not leave. No matter what you do, the darkness will not leave. But if Jesus comes and he just switches the light on and he does what you could never ever do, the light disperses the darkness and it was never ever there. and there's complete freedom and life. So all authority has been given on earth and heaven to Jesus. Jesus is the one who brought us out of war. He's the one who intended for us to be peacemakers. It was never ever Jesus' purpose at that time to bring peace to mankind. Later on, we see him as the head of the church, and you know it's his body. But for that period, he came to declare war on darkness and to defeat darkness. And now how we defeat darkness is we declare the victory that Jesus brought. If we try and fight in our own efforts, we'll only get caught up in the war and we won't learn how to be peacemakers. And the whole thing is inheriting the kingdom. That's the goal. The goal is that the kingdom of heaven comes to earth. And for that to happen, there needs to be war and there needs to be peacemakers. And Jesus completed the war. He beat darkness. And the tension that we're battling with now is, when do we go to war and when do we just govern in peace? And there is still, yes, that's strange, there is still a time of war. Ephesians 6 verse 12, if you pull that up, all of us know that. It's a really common verse. I can just read it. But yeah, our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So there is still a time of war. But we need to realize that, like, it's all Jesus. It's him who completed it all. There's nothing left for us to fight. If we see darkness, we need to declare victory. And until we declare victory, we'll just keep punching the darkness. And to give some practical examples of where that would be, if, example, we have drug dealers working underneath the bridge here. Until we declare the victory that Christ has brought, we won't see true change. We'll declare war on our own strength. We'll put up maybe barbed wire, a new fence. We'll chase them away. We'll call the cops. We'll get an alarm system. We'll pay people huge amounts of money every month to guard our property. But we'll never, ever just declare the victory. And we will go to war in our own strength and with our own resources. And we'll even section apart of, we have the kingdom, but this is war. And we'll put our finance and our resource into declaring war on that. But we won't step back and just say, have I declared victory? Have I actually just shared the message of Jesus? This is darkness. Darkness needs to hear the light. And he is the light that shines through me. It's not my own strength. It's not my own fighting. Mark 16, verse 15. Now, this is the different version of the Great Commission. Jesus gave a few. It says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name, and they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. And the phrase I want to capture you on is, they will drive out demons. If you could kill that, just to show you that that is in the Great Commission. I believe that driving out demons is an act of just declaring light to the darkness. Like, it's just, our battle's not against flesh and blood. If someone's demon-possessed, they have a demon. They don't have a problem. And we need to see that as war and declare light. Because if someone has a demon and we're governing here, which I'd like to explain a little bit more in But from a time of peace, we'll just say, oh, no, they've just, and we'll give them, you know, psychological disorders. We'll just say they got split personality. They just, you know, tend to lose concentration a lot. They've got anger issues. And we try and sort out all the problems. And we try to govern. And we put in riverbanks. And we protect them from our people. And we say, you know, when people actually just have a demon. And this is really like deep stuff. And it's probably like your hectic, Andrew. But it's true. There's Christians who come to church and they still battle with demons. And there's still a demonic world. And if you live in Africa and you've done some ministry, you'll start realizing that. I mean, we had a demon-possessed guy at the Rob Rufus conference in Manguzi, and it was really funny. He was like saying, shut up, Rob, shut up, in Zulu. And they were translating, and it was broken. It was just really cool. And he, I don't know if he got set free. But if we try to govern demons, it just doesn't work. We need to declare Jesus. If there's a drug dealer who's working with prostitutes and running down the whole community of the area and influencing young children, we need to go to war and declare Jesus' victory. We can't try bring peace and just say, oh, it's all nice, let's just love him and that'll be that. There sometimes needs to be a violent, approach and a rising and just saying, enough is enough. You will not sell in this area. We believe that Jesus is the light and he is in charge here. And if you want to go to war, we will, set the kingdom of light upon you. And that could be love. That could be freedom. Or it could be just a solid boundary. But there's still a time of war. If people come into the church with wrong motives and, a wrong idea of who we are here and what we're doing, and they try and abuse, the family values that we have, there's a time of war to say, like Paul did it. Paul said, kick him out the church. Like, there is a line here. And the dude repented and came back, and it was amazing. But if we are just stuck in peace, and we just believe that grace can, be freely poured out to everyone, there's no boundaries, there's no separation at some time, I think we'll stay in this place of peace, but we'll never, ever fight for the peace. Like, if South Africa had to be attacked, and we don't have any soldiers, if we had to be attacked and we don't have border posts, so we don't even know where the lines start, where people come in. If we never paid any money to, train soldiers, at a time of war, we wouldn't know what we are doing. So, I'm trying to put it out there, but there's two really distinguishing approaches. There's people in our church who we love, and there's family, and people do have problems, and we work through them. And there's grace freely poured out, and there's complete freedom and no control. And if there is control, we control them into freedom. Hey, James. Yes, that sounds heavy. But like something that's really been stirring in my heart since Rob came and shared is that there is sometimes a time to go to war. And there's sometimes, if we're really going to change this country, we need to fight for peace. But learn how to be peacemakers. And in the time of peace, don't get our hearts so set on here. And tools that I believe for, bringing light to darkness is things like treasure hunts. Going to Florida Road and praying for people late at night. Hey, Sandy. And like Rain's not even here tonight because he's so tired from last night. They went out ministering really late and went ministering to prostitutes and that. And there's a time to, like, it's our minds are so set on understanding war as, you know, earthly physical weapons. But in terms of spirit realm, how you go to war, you know, with drug dealers is you go into their territory. You go amongst them and you love them. But it has to be there has to be a confidence. You have to be like Nikki Cruz and say, "You can cut me into 1,000 pieces and each piece will still love you." In his heart, he said, "I'm declaring war on this darkness. It will have no place here. This will be, you know, a cancer-free zone. There will be no sickness here." If we want to live in health, we have to actively fight against sickness. If we just say, you know, "Oh, we'll just pray for everyone that comes, and over time, people will progressively get healed," I don't think it's going to be a worldwide, you know, healing movement. There has to be men who, you know, get together, men and women, sorry, and say, "We're starting a dead raising team. We're gonna go into the morgues and raise the dead people. We're gonna fight for this kingdom. We're gonna be the ones who go onto the borders. And we're going to be the ones who, you know," it says, yes, I'm so keen to get into that. But it says, "To his government, there will be no end." Which means there's people on the forefront declaring war on the kingdom of darkness. And as it grows, the borders grow. And eventually, it will cover the whole earth. And his glory will be known. But there's people on the front lines. And their tools are weapons of the supernatural. Speaking in new tongues, casting out demons, you know, a list of other stuff, flying, whatever it be in that time, God can use it as a tool. Just heard of Andy Mason was in the New York Stock Exchange, and God just gave him prophetic words, and he started prophesying. And the whole place just changed, and they're like, "Come back. We want you to do this, you know, every month with us." So I've like really bashed that in. There is a time to go to war. And this side, I feel, in terms of peace, this is where like I need to personally learn, because I don't know what it means. But how a lot of this came through for me was I realized that when people get healed and they get delivered, we often don't know what to do. When they don't have problems, we're just like, "It's cool, it's chilled. Welcome to leadership." You know, we clean them out and then we bring them on leadership. Yeah, let me get this quick. There is something to be learned about governing through peace. There's something to relaxing in the kingdom. If I just want to go to war, and I'm not on the borders of my country, I'll create strife in a conflict. If my heart is set on war and violently progressing the kingdom, and I am not out there doing outreach, I will start to have issues with my local leaders, with those in charge of me, because my heart is set on war. If you're not fighting for the kingdom, like I've seen guys who are involved, as soon as they get involved with stuff, they're no longer offended. Some people are designed, their very makeup, and there's like a supernatural call on their life to go to war against darkness. I mean, you listen to like Todd White and the stories that he has. That man just travels in darkness. He lives in those places. And he just brings light. But I feel like, and it's something on my life that I want to unlock to other people, is that in the church, there's not just a time to go to war, but there's sometimes a time to make peace. And it says the peacemakers will inherit the kingdom. So just as Jesus and some people on the forefront fight for the kingdom, some of us just need to relax and learn how to govern well. And learn how to delegate, learn how to administrate, and get supernatural wisdom like Solomon, and say, give me wisdom to govern your people. And when we are governing in a time of peace, our hearts won't be offended because we're not looking for war. And you know how, like, if you want to know if your heart is set on war, just a really deep question to ask yourself is, are you really defensive? Like, are you really defensive? When people, because in a time of government, and it says in Revelations, everyone will be healed. There will no longer be another tear shed. There's complete healing, complete restoration. In that time, will you know how to pick up a cricket bat and play cricket for 3 days straight? 5 days. Will you know how to relax by the pool for a whole day? Or are we so set on war and so set on, and I mean, it could be different things, growing the church, growing a ministry. Are we so set on fighting for the kingdom? And there's sometimes we need to just declare the victory. Or, because there's sometimes we need to govern and sometimes we need to go to war. And I feel why the prophetic was so strong before this was there's a mantle on a prophetic voice to recognize the two. Like, example with my sister before, someone's like come into a close proximity of, you know, Christian friends and that. And we've all been like, they're so cool, they're so amazing. And we'll be like, oh, they got one or two problems, but they're a really nice person. And my sister on the other side would just be like, I don't trust that person. Like get away from them. And I'm like, what? And there's a prophetic voice that knows when to declare war. And the thing is, declaring war brings peace in the kingdom. Because as light comes, darkness can't be there anymore. But if we never, ever switch on that light, if we never violently fight against the darkness, those sitting in peace will, the borders will close of, you know, the governments of Jesus. You, as a country, you have to actively fight for the peace that you have. For South Africa to not fall back to apartheid, we have to actively talk about the relationships between black and white people. And from a place of government, not of war. Not of separation, but in how do we make these two cultures work when they're diametrically opposed? How do we, and there's almost democracy that comes in, but the kingdom of God doesn't really do democracy entirely. It kind of is, but it's not. But there's just government that needs to be explored. And I'm out of time. But some stuff that should come through government is remodeling the health system. We can't just pray for people to get healed, but not teach them how to live healthy. We need to teach people how to eat right. We need to teach people how to exercise right. We need to live healthy. And we are silly to say, I can just eat bad, not exercise, and just go to war every time sickness comes. We will not inherit the kingdom. It will not come. Our hearts will just be set on war. We need to build an education system that effectively disciples our nation. We're called to disciple nations. Not go to war, but disciple. And finally, we are called to restore the planet. And that's huge. Go Byron. Is your mind set on war? Or are you happy living with peace? One who goes to war understands sacrifice. But one who governs through peace understands victory. Damn, that's good. Awesome. I'm just going to pray. If you guys just want to close your eyes. I just thank you, Holy Spirit, just for like whatever it is that you've brought tonight. And that the prophetic has just been so stirred up. I thank you, Lord, just for hearts just to be so, so stirred right now. I thank you, Lord, just for a supernatural understanding that you'll just take the words that I've said and just this message that you put on my heart and just upgrade it to another level. Just supercharge it. Just bring understanding where people haven't understood. Just where hearts have just been hopeless, Father, just bring hope. And I just declare light, and I say there will be no darkness here. I thank you that Highway is a place of peace, that in this church and through these walls, we know when to go to war, but we are currently at peace, and that we are learning how to govern through peace, and we are learning how not just to heal people, but to make them whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. James, you're not on the floor, unfortunately, so cappuccinos will be served. Oh.